evening and happy new year.
Good evening and happy new
year to you, Gitty.
Yeah, good evening to you and happy new year to you and all the others who are watching right now.
Yes, exactly. I've invited you very spontaneously that, that let's do a live tonight.
Because yeah, it was
just spontaneous. Yeah.
No, I think at 2 in the afternoon you wrote me the message, I want to do a live and talk about fitness. Are you in? And I thought, okay, fitness is so a special topic right now and I think it's a very good topic for the starting of the year. So I said, of course, let's talk about fitness tonight.
Yeah, it was actually very, very spontaneous because I had yesterday, I think, been putting out a post. We have this Arctic cold right now here.
Okay.
We are having here, but also I think Oslo and Sweden is even colder than us. They are around minus 30.
Wow.
We have minus 20. And then locally, where our farm is based, we have a very good microclimate. So it's a little bit warmer here. It's only minus 15 or 18.
Oh, wow. I read about this in the newspaper, I think. It's really so cold up there. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And then I put out a post on Facebook because I thought it was actually a little bit cool that also in winter you can train. We are often talking about the limitations of training in winter. Because when we are getting into a too high pulse frequency, the lungs are getting destroyed when the horses are breathing too heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are starting to have around minus degrees, minus 5, we start to need to be a little bit careful that where we are working, when we are thinking about training, we have to be a little bit careful of where are we working. And then I was trying to explain that yesterday on Facebook and trying to explain that this time of the year, I'm not trying to enlarge the capacity and I'm not trying to enlarge to get a higher fitness level.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working a little bit low key and I can fall back on what I've been training. Yeah, what I have been reaching, the fitness level I've been reaching the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And that created a lot of discussion.
Oh, really?
Interesting enough, yes, because academic art of riding does, or would not be academic, that I'm training fitness at all, and that you can't let a horse trot so long, and then when it's cold, you can't work a horse at all. And that was the reason when I read that this morning, I thought, okay, maybe we have to talk about what is fitness actually, and it's not hurting. It has nothing to do with exhausting horses.
Okay. I haven't seen this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right now a bit surprised. I really can't get the point right now. So they say that you should not train condition or that you should not train at all in winter time.
I think it's basically about the confusion what fitness actually is. And I remember also that was why I have invited you. That also when I said to you sometime last year that now we are on a point where we can start to work with your horse on fitness, you were looking a little bit confused.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, because right now we do in German we say Zirkeltraining, you know, when you do all this stuff and work on condition and work on I don't know that she gets fitter. I was really like, we don't do shouldering, quartering anymore.
Yeah, and that is actually not the point. So I think the first thing that we need to clarify is what is fitness actually, and in the very sense of the word, fitness means well-being. Well-being and having enough competence in your own body for doing what you're supposed to do with your body. So it has a lot to do with creating competence. And maybe this is a mistake in translation in between English and German.
Mm-hmm.
But I think also that I thought a few years ago when I heard the word fitness, I directly connected that with this word, with this picture of chasing a horse through the riding arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the opposite of what we are doing.
For me, fitness is like running a marathon. I don't know if this is the English word also, but running like a long distance, really that you are exhausted later.
Yeah, but that is the opposite of fitness, because when you're exhausted, you have passed your limits, right? And we don't wonder, whoo, there's somebody coming into our room. Okay, then I need to spotlight the two of us.
Okay.
Then we can have more guests also in the room here, not only on Facebook. So funny. So when we are replacing the word fitness with being competent, then exhaustion is not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I also think that we are having this picture on the one hand, and then we have another picture on the other hand. And that is that we are only training horses very little and very slow.
Mm.
And don't come into an area where they are starting to use their body at all. So they don't get really warm. And I think that this is the very important part, that where we also need to clarify that training does have different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So we can train, we can only move a horse. We can train for health. We can train for fitness. We can train for sports. And somewhere there is the level of maximum capacity where we are going into exhaustion. But we can also train strength and coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what is happening in this low key area, you know, where we are not working on the, or where the pulse level is not getting increased. And it's very important also. But where we are training strength and coordination, and also where we are maybe even training sensomotoric skills or proprioception.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tongue breaker in English. Mm-hmm. Proprioception. In German, it works better. Proprioception.
Yeah, but it's also very difficult in German.
And all of that is important. But I think that when we, that times also have been changing. Some years ago, I have been seeing more horses that were kind of, they were chased through the riding arena and they were so scared that they were sweaty all over their body.
Yeah.
And then people thought, okay, a horse needs to sweat properly. So they were chasing them another round and another round and another round. And the horse got lamer and more stress. And it was horrible.
Yeah.
And of course, we as trainers have been reacting on this and said, okay, this is too much. This is not training anymore. Your horse doesn't need to be completely exhausted each time you finish. But now I'm seeing the other thing. Now I'm seeing a lot of horses that are very fat and that can't trot 5 minutes in a row.
Yeah.
And now we need to start to react on this extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I think it's human, it's the same. We also should have a basic condition, for example, when it's not possible that we have a short run for, I think, 5 or 10 minutes without losing the breath, then we should do something. This is healthy. This is what the body needs. So I think this basic condition is very important.
Yeah, also when we are thinking about having the ability to breathe properly, right? As you said now, in humans, it's the same in horses.
Yeah.
And horses are made for walking. So when we are thinking about what is the horse, there we are again. We have been talking a lot about species-related behavior lately, also in the podcast. Then we need to remember that horses are not made for sitting on the sofa and eating the whole day high-calorie food. But that they are made to walk through the forest, walk through the mountains, slow but steady, with short intervals where it is getting trot or canter, but in general, slow and steady movement all of the time.
Do you know, are there studies how much hours a horse moves in nature when they are in the wild?
Yeah, all the time, because they aren't standing. So 18 hours, they aren't standing when they're eating.
Yeah.
So you can say approximately 4 hours of sleep per day.
Yeah.
And then slow movement while eating and then travel times.
Yes.
On top of that.
Yeah, I mean, think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in your horses are out in the Itmark, I think it is called, so they can...
Yeah, but just half a year, yeah.
Just half a year. Here in Austria, or I think in most of the stables in Germany, they are... sometimes they have these paddocks where they can move, but very often they are in the in the box. I think it's called also an English box. Mm-hmm. So they stand a lot of time.
They're standing a lot of time, and they're standing. And also here we have big paddocks, but in winter when they're coming in, and eventually we have too much snow or too much ice for finding natural food in the forest, they simply spend a lot of time standing on the hay feeder. Yeah. And then even I need to start thinking about fitness and need to start thinking about movement.
Yeah.
Not only for the body, but also for the brain. I actually, just to clarify that a little bit, you know, I like to take things from the scientific perspective. I have prepared something for you.
Okay.
And I hope I can find it here in the background now. Of course not. So give me a little moment to prepare this. That I'm opening the right, that I'm opening the right window here. So this is a part of the calendar we are preparing for the masterclass right now. And there we have, for example, this checklist for equine fitness. And when we want to talk about equine fitness, then we always need to, you know, that this is not happening to us, that we are working our horses into exhaustion. We can take these guidelines. We can fall back on these guidelines because other people have done the work for us already, figuring out what the maximum heartbeat of a horse should be, can be, before it is collapsing. And there we have this formula, and that is 223 minus the age of the horse times 0.9. What is then, so the end result of this, that is the maximum pulse that a horse should have ever. Yeah, this is a little bit, so this is the maximum. We can do that for Midas Pino because it's a pretty old horse. So it's a pretty nice, just for having the comparison, and I have prepared for you.
Okay.
So we have here example one, and that is Despino. Oh, that's a little too small. And this is Despino.
Yeah.
And Despino, make it big. So, and Despino with his 20 years. There we can take the calculation, and that is 223 minus his age, that is 20, times 0.9. And though the maximum heartbeat is 205.
Okay.
And that's a lot. 205. Yeah. Do you know where the resting pulse is?
No.
For hers?
Mm-hmm. I wanted 40. To ask that. 40?
40. Mm-hmm.
40?
Yes.
This is five times. Five times more than...
Yes. This is the maximum capacity.
Okay. But the maximum capacity is close right before collapsing, you said.
It's so right before collapsing.
Therefore, this is not the goal. I mean,
no, this is not the goal. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So let's have a look at that, what we are doing with this value, right? Mm-hmm. So when we have the maximum capacity, then we can have a look at where are we training. So at 30 to 40%, and let's calculate that too.
Mm-hmm.
205 shared through 100. Is 2.05.
Mm-hmm.
30 to 40% of this. The lowest level is 30. This is 61, a heartbeat of 61.5 to 82, a heartbeat of 82.
Mm-hmm.
This is not training. This is not even training for health.
But what does it mean, movement? This is like when they go eating grass. Or what is movement?
Exactly. Yeah, you can say, so we have been doing, I have been playing a little bit with that with a few students who had, how do you say that in English? Pulse block? You know, this measurement tool that you can have on the horses? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they did the pulse work and a pulse of a heartbeat of 60, you easily reach in groundwork and walk.
Okay.
Just bending, sailing on the circle, very slow.
Okay.
So then you are on 60, 65.
Okay.
So the horse has not even been trotting one step.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then let's have a look at when we are saying we are training for the health area.
Mm-hmm.
Then we are on 50 to 60%. And I'm just enlarging the scale here a little that we have a better perspective. So 50 we can do in our head. That is 102.5 mm-hmm. to 60. And that is 123.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we say we are training for the fitness area. And that is 123. Oh, bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop, what I prepared here. Mm-hmm. That is for printing. This is mm-hmm. not for.
Yeah.
123 to 143.5, and this is also the area where we are talking about. Somewhere here, we would say in between 110 and 150. This is the normal area in that you are training.
Okay.
Then a little bit higher, a little bit lower, depending on the age of the horse.
Yeah,
and depending, of course, is the horse healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the horse healthy? Because if the horse is not, but then also the pulse, but we are talking about that afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is probably approximately the area in that we're having aerobe work.
Mm-hmm.
So the work that is burning calories and not the work where we are overtraining and the muscles are getting sore.
It's very interesting. I don't know if this is scientifically proved, but I think in the mm-hmm. humans we also have 140.
I don't know. I'm really crappy with humans.
I know
a lot about horses, but I know nothing about horses.
But
humans.
I don't know. This is urban knowledge, you know. But when I started mm-hmm. A bit jogging or running, they said you should not go higher than 140. So it
makes sense for me.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Makes sense for me. Mm-hmm. But I guess if you're Googling it, you will also find out the age of max for humans. And then you can simply do the same calculation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same calculation. It's just probably, I would say, it's then probably the 223.
Mm.
So the base of the formula has changed a little.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So then we have a look at the sports area. It's 70%. 143 that we have checked already, and to 80%, and this is 164, and here it's starting to get tricky.
Okay.
There we need to know what we are doing, or need to start knowing what we are doing.
Yeah.
And then on top of these 80%, this is the area where accidents happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the area where the horse is suddenly taking a little jump and the foot is breaking, or you know, where we see in German we say Belastungsbrüche.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or where the racehorses mm-hmm. are collapsing, or so this is basically there we never want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say that where we are in spare time riding as an ambitious spare time rider, I don't think we will ever touch this here. This is not.
Yeah, I don't. I'm just wondering how a horse, I mean, like race horses, I mean, when they are very fit, but they also would have mm-hmm. this maximum capacity. Or what do you think?
I mean, absolutely. Every horse has a maximum capacity.
I mean, yeah, but when, for example, when you have a race horse racing in a tournament, if they reach this level, I mean, they should be, I mean, I don't want to talk about racing horses mm-hmm. right now, but, you know, I mean, they should be, the fitter the horses are, the mm-hmm. more difficult it gets to reach this level. Is this
exactly.
correct?
Exactly. And that mm-hmm. is a trick. And that is a trick mm-hmm. on it. So when you have a completely untrained horse, and this is exactly the reason why I wanted to talk about that today. Mm-hmm. When you are having a completely untrained horse, let's say we have a horse after box rest. For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe the weather was as it is right now in Germany. It's a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses have to stand there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, mm-hmm. 4 weeks with very limited ability to move. Then you don't take them out. And the first thing you do is training 50 rounds of canter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because from then the pulse will go up very yeah. quickly.
Yeah.
Because they are also losing fitness when they are not trained. And yeah. that was what I was trying to bring across yesterday also with my post. Because right now in this minus degrees, I'm not training extensively. Mm-hmm. And I'm very aware of where I can damage my horses. But the interesting part is that now I can train with Despino, for example, after warming him up a little bit in walk and with side movements. It's no problem to train with him 20 minutes, half an hour. Yeah, transitions in between walk, school trot, back to walk, a little bit school hold, and he is not even coming out of the area of movement.
It's very
pulse level is so low. Pulse level is very, very, very low. But this is due to the fact that the horses are living as they are living here, and there mm-hmm. is no better fitness training as walking uphill, and there is a lot of uphill.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a lot of uphill working. But then I'm also training periods when the weather allows it. And even at the North Pole, we don't only have 25 minus degrees. That mm-hmm. I'm training in this area in between 110 and 130, 140. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the pulse mm-hmm. and I am seeing on where are we reaching the level of exhaustion? And that you're seeing when you're training with a pulse clock, you're seeing that because suddenly the pulse is going up. Mm-hmm. And even after a break, it doesn't come down again.
Yeah. And when you don't have this pulse measurement watch, or what is it called? I don't know. How can you mm-hmm. see? I mean, what are the signs? The heavy breathing, sweating?
Mm-hmm. You have, of course, this very simple... Yes, Uni, we are measuring the heartbeat of the horse. That is correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can of course measure the heartbeat, but you can also simply look at the horse. Mm. You can look at the breath, for example. So the heartbeat and the breath is coupled. Mm-hmm. The one thing doesn't rise without the other thing. Also, there we had a comment yesterday that it's not enough to only monitor the heartbeat. You also need to monitor the breath and, yes, of course, but these two, they are aligned. If one is going up, the other one is going up. If the heartbeat is going up, you get more heavy breathing, quicker breathing, not so deep breathing anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the other way around. So if the breath is going up, so for me, that was always true. I have a very shitty fitness level myself.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. If that is going, especially when I need to go uphill and, you know, after the,
yeah, yeah.
And when I was pregnant, it was super interesting.
Yeah.
Because from 4 or 5 months onwards, the baby was so heavy on my chest that I was going 3 steps up.
Yeah, I think we all know how this is when you have you lose the breath because of the exhaustion.
Because of exhaustion, yeah, exactly. So these are coupled. If you have an eye for the one thing, that is enough. In an ideal world, we are always monitoring everything, but we don't need to. It's enough if we are safe with one of the guidelines. Mm-hmm. We can also see different things, like that the horses are suddenly not capable anymore of taking their feet out of the ground.
Yeah.
So all signs of discomfort that we know. For riders who are aware, if you are on the ground, who are aware of the equine grimace scale, you will see that the eyes are starting to get a little bit narrow, and also that the horses are not capable of going over the back properly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Many are starting to fall really low down.
Mm.
So when I've passed this threshold of ability, they are really low with their nose on the ground, and they are making a lot of noise and a lot of sand is coming up in their yeah. movements. If I am sitting on the horse, I will feel that the horse suddenly is very heavy on the forehand. And I have a lot of weight in my hand in worst case.
Mm.
And even after a break, that doesn't go up anymore. And now back to the example with me being when I was pregnant. Because this is the same for horses that simply are too fat. The reason why you are getting short in breast when you are pregnant is not that you have a few kilos extra, but because there is so little space in your chest. And that is also true when you are having a horse that is simply very fat or very adipose. They are so short in their breast, and some of them are even getting COPD. They are so short in their breast that they can't breathe through properly. And then we need to slowly work on taking the fitness level higher and higher and higher. But their fitness training might be that we just need to for interval walking. So when you're looking at what maybe Carrie is here, we had just had a lesson before tonight. So when you're looking at what she's working on, or both Carrie's, what they are working on, the fitness training looks very different than what I'm doing with you and Billy. Billy is working on finding a rhythm, finding a rhythm in all three gates, and she's doing that. Fantastic. And you can bend her straight already in that, and you can start to play with the frame. And we are just working on extending these abilities. And when you're looking at the girls from the US and from Canada, they are working on very different things. One of them has a horse with a metabolic disease. So she has problems with the thyroid and insulin resistancy. So with this horse, we need fitness training or a very long warm-up phase, especially that she can do the academic work at all, that she's not hurting everywhere in her body. The body is not getting so stiff. And the other one has to work on weight loss. The horse was simply too heavy, so heavy that she got lame. And with her, she doesn't have a pulse clock, but she has a very good eye and a very good feel for her horse. And the horse is cool because she's getting so angry when she's being touched by both. She's cool. She's super cool.
That is a good sign then.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm always very happy when we have horses like this that are having so much expression. I'm trying to not work that away, but I'm trying to use that.
Yes.
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing better than that the horse is giving you feedback.
Yeah, makes it easier. Yeah, it makes it easier for the training.
Much, much easier.
Yeah.
And so she's doing this interval work. Little bit walk, little bit trot, little bit walk, little bit trot. Long walk, break, calming down the heartbeat again, and having the try to repeat that again. And where she is now, she can repeat that 2, 3, 4 times sometimes. But it's a very different training. So we are not trying to extend the trot period. We are trying to work her on a very constant 110 heartbeat approximately. And it doesn't take her a lot to come there. So she's developing super fine, but it doesn't take her 20 minutes of trot to go there. While Despino, after 20 minutes of trot, you know, he's yawning. If this is just a little bit of normal slow trot, he is yawning and says, okay, I'm not coming out of the movement area here. When are we starting to do something?
I mean, this takes time to build up this condition or this ability to move without a high pulse. This is not what you can build up from today till tomorrow.
Nee, it takes time, exactly. And when have we started with Billy? Can you remember?
With this fitness training or with this fitness training, I think half a year ago or maybe 9 months ago.
Yeah, something like this, right? Was it somewhere in spring? In spring,
I think in spring the last year. Yeah.
After she was sick.
Yeah, you're right.
After she was sick.
She was sick. Ah, you're right. She was sick in spring, and I think then we started in May, April, May, like this. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Her movement she's really moving very nice today. I think it's really, really working very well.
Very nice. I was most impressed when I saw your work on the last course. Yeah. You know, it's always different when I'm not teaching myself.
Yeah,
you can look at it differently. I think your biggest achievement was that in the forward down, she's not falling on the forehand anymore.
Yeah.
The front legs were staying in the maximum stand space, really nice and straight.
Yeah,
and I like
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. Me too. I was watching the lesson and I thought, wow, this is really another horse. I mean, also when I worked her now in launching, and I think that right now she looks like she's growing in the front. You know, like this is really, really incredible. And I think this is because of our training. She also gains strength and she gets the self-confidence in the movement. This is so important. The last time I have the veterinarian here and I talked to her and said, now we work on them. We can trot for 10 minutes. And she looked at me and said, What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Really? Well, I'm so proud right now. We can trot for 10 minutes. And she was really like, she didn't understand my point. Because for her, I mean, when you talk about this, that a horse can't trot for 10 minutes. I mean, this is really not a long time. You know what I mean? And this is basic trotting. This is not high speed racing. This is just trotting.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a very important point. I like to remind of this old rule. What are you doing here? You're supposed to go to bed, my friend. you. Yeah. If you hear a strange sound that comes from the floor, it's my child thing. But we have this old rule in Campagna riding, actually, where we are saying that a youngster should be able to trot 20 minutes and to canter at least 5. Before you are getting up, before you are starting riding. So this should be the basic fitness level. Mm-hmm. For a rider, by the way, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember we had a lesson where we were working on the finding the border in trot. And you were hitting it earlier than your horse.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I
Yeah, but
agree.
You are pretty fit. You are pretty fit for the average rider. You are doing a lot of sport.
Yes, but nevertheless, you lose the fitness when you're not used to it, you know? This is, I mean, of course, I do a lot of sport. This is true. But it is a special movement when you sit on a horseback. And for example, for the muscles in the belly, is also very important. The core stability. So I think it's also very important for us to have this fitness level, and also for the horses. But you get this fitness when you do it. You know, it's not only that you talk about it, but you have to do it. And I think the good it's a combination. I don't understand the point why this should not be academic. This is what I don't get.
Because there's nothing to the academic art of riding. It's a training method. And it's a training method. It's an explanation model. And for me, academic art of riding means the well-being of the horse is in the center of attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That we are using all tools that we are having for having a healthy horse.
Yeah. But you can do
so for me, that doesn't go at all against academic art of riding. The opposite way around is true. And
yeah,
I think that especially academic tools are very important if we want to do fitness work, because what we don't want is to circle a horse on a very small circle where the hind quarter is falling out constantly and the horse is leaning over one shoulder and all joints are unstraight. So especially if we want to do a basic fitness work, already for basic fitness work, we need the academic tools for straightening a horse up on the launch. Getting some bending and standing, and also when we are with some of you are on a level now, like Eli from Norway now, for example. She's on this level now where she's getting with her Icelandic mare this very beautiful basic trot, and we can just move the hind quarter in and out and in and out and in and out. Little shoulder in, a little quarter in, a little shoulder in, a little quarter in. And when we are thinking about how to increase a fitness level, one possibility is to do it longer, to do the same thing, but longer. And the other thing is to make it more difficult. Use more power. That's what we are doing when we are working side movements, right? Mm-hmm. We are making it more difficult. Mm-hmm. We are trying to shift more weight backwards. We are trying to... There comes the baby transport. That's what we are doing when we are working with this hind quarter in, hind quarter out, hind quarter in, hind quarter out. We are trying to create more transitions for putting a proper gymnastics on the horse, getting more movability in the hind quarter, but also creating more strength in the hind quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we need to do that for longer than a minute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So therefore, it's always a little bit the question also, where are you starting this? So what are you doing first? More basic fitness or more strength? In the end, it has to connect.
Yes. Yeah. But the question is why you can't do both alternatively. So one day you work, for example, more on strength. On the other day, you go for interval walking.
I think because at the start, it's difficult to do everything at once. You also need to build up a skill set. You need to build up a skill set.
Mm.
Yeah. And first, we have been... So depending on where the horse and where the student is, you maybe need to... Maybe you need to first work on losing kilos.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the first thing. Or maybe you have a horse that is very unstraight, but not so fat. So then you're maybe working first on the skill set of creating a bit more straightness. Because when you're starting to do fitness work with a horse like this, the horse will break down.
Yeah.
So there, I think we have to see the individual case. But if you want to have progress, you want to do this.
Mm.
If you don't want the school hold to be a hollow exercise, to just, then the horse can do a school hold, but it still can't trot over the back.
Then
you need both.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the beginning. What I was wondering about, what is it with this coldness? You can't train -5 degrees, or what was this point?
Now you need to be careful, because when we are going back to my table here.
Yeah.
Somewhere when we are going here in this fitness area, actually not completely, I'm not completely sure. So there I would need to look up a little bit in my books where the threshold is, where the border is. But I think it's around 100, 110, where the horse is, where the breath is simply going up so much.
Mm-hmm.
Basically from the cold air, the lungs are burning.
Ah, okay. Yes. Okay. I get the point.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, and this is why during the winter period, when we have -degrees, I'm not hitting this area.
Yes. Okay.
So when we are talking next year, or this year, when we are talking now about making training plans, I will also show you how I'm making my training plan for the year.
Yeah.
Because surprise, I know we have 6 months of winter.
Yeah.
So this is the time where I'm training down, or where I'm trying to keep a level, where I'm not trying to move the border up, but where I'm trying to keep a level, just keep a movement, keep a fitness level, being very aware of that the horses will come out of the winter period worse than what they came in. And then in the summer I get help from the Utmarksbeter. And then it will regulate again. And then I have the best training period, or the highest performance level, where the horses are easiest in their body. I have at the end of the summer, so late autumn, end of September, October.
Mm-hmm.
If we have a good winter, then November, December, beginning of January is very good. The horses have a very high level of competence, but then I'm working on this level. I'm not increasing it.
Yes. Okay.
The maximum. Mm.
So you keep it.
I'm keeping it. And then from March onwards, it's going down.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I know that. So I'm also starting that, because I also know that the weather will get difficult. March is here the snowiest months, where we are getting most snow.
Mm.
Often the coldest months also. So I'm starting to down train in February.
Mm.
Starting to down train. And then we are training on very low key, if at all. Sometimes, April and May, we have mainly ice. So then I can still do a little bit in my tiny, nah, it's not a riding arena. It's a run-in shed. And I can do something. Nah, at least it has a roof. Yeah. And I can do something in halt, like pool halts or side movements in halt, or maybe a little bit with the horses that are fine. I've educated and I just have one right now. I can do a little bit on the place, like a few steps of piaf, like in between the pilers, and I work in hand position.
Yeah.
Or we can do, for the horses that are less educated, we can do isometric work. We can do, you know, just taking the toolbox of physiotherapy.
Mm.
We can work on balance pad. We can do, something like this. But in the end of that, the horses will come out with a fresh mind.
Mm-hmm.
What is good, because you can't train just more the whole year. But with, the body will be a little bit down, a little bit lower. The level will be lower than in October.
Yeah.
That's fine. But that's good. We'll regulate again.
That's the way it is. But I think, for example, in Austria and other countries, the summer is also a problem. Let's say it like this, because for me, I was wondering, we don't have it here so cold like you have, but we have it very hot in summer.
Mm.
And I think when you have 30, close to 40 degrees, you also can't train fitness.
Absolutely not. So then this is your area where you need to down train.
Yes. I think so, really.
Where you are falling back on what you have been doing the rest of the year.
Yeah. Exactly. Interesting. I never thought of that.
No, really.
Because now I think it's also very good to think this way, because then I know that I don't have these very high goals during the summer months. I mean,
Well, I mean, you can do two things. One thing is, of course, adjusting your training times.
Mm-hmm.
It's very smart to not train at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yeah.
That's very stupid things, right? Very stupid, but very important. So maybe in the time of, I don't know how it is with you locally there, but in between 12 and 15, I would expect it's the warmest. So that is not a very good training time.
No. But in the really hot, I mean, you know that the temperature increases also in Austria, and in summer times, it's really, we have about 35 degrees at 8 at night.
Yeah.
So this is not fun. This is for me also not fun. I think this is a very good point, what you said, that you have the summer. My summer is your winter, so to say.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. And I'm doing the same. So we also have, here it's very short, it's a week or two, where we are having 20 something.
Ooh, 20.
Ooh.
Oh my God. 20 is so cool.
20 is warm. 25 or 28 really feels hot here.
Mm. Yeah.
It feels different because we have this extreme sun.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. Polar circle, right? Yeah, exactly. So if I'm training, very late. But I let the horses. This is the period where I'm usually taking vacation for myself and where I'm just saying, okay, let the mountains do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So I think that a too strict training regime is not always helpful in the sense of, you know, you are trying to get more and more and more and more all year round. The equine body and mind also need breaks for digesting and for restoring your energy and for coming back, basically, being fresh. But what you can do, of course, is if, for example, you have, how long is the summer in Austria?
The hot summer, you know, I think 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's fine for a good vacation. But if you think this is too long for vacation, you still can train here in the movement. So somewhere in between movement and health area.
Yeah.
Just keeping the horse a little bit supple. That's also fine. Then they don't lose so much. Or you are even extra smart. So 2 weeks before the heat is coming, you are starting to take pressure out and you are down training. You're starting to train down. mm-hmm. going somewhere in this area of around 80, somewhere, 80, 90, maybe. Mm. So that the horse doesn't go from full training to zero into the summer break.
Mm.
And then it goes into the summer break, and as you are smart and you are planning very well, you are planning also after that a period of 2 to 4 weeks where you're doing the same again. You're training very low key.
Mm.
Yeah, getting movability and strength back, and then starting to get a bit more sporty again.
Mm-hmm.
Also fine. Mm-hmm. Shall we, just because it's so funny, shall we have a look at Billy? How old is she?
Mm. She is 12.
She is 12, so not so much
difference.
A little bit difference.
Mm-hmm.
So she has her max on 212. Oh, again, tiny here. Yeah, Canva is not a perfect screen software, but the best I have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, Kitty.
Uh-huh.
Then, where are we with... So, then, shear through 100, then we have 1% times 30. So, you are somewhere in a very similar area. 63.6 to 40. 85, approximately.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, it's not so much.
No,
it's not so much. It's not so much difference in between the different horses. So we can always say somewhere in between 60 and 80, we will have the movement area.
Yeah. But this is somewhere, good, because then it would be too complicated when there are so huge differences.
Exactly. Mm. This is basically what I'm trying to say. One heartbeat faster or slower. That won't. Yeah. And if you are doing real like training, like my colleague in Germany is doing, she's doing long distance riding.
Mm.
So these people are really good, much better than I will ever get with tracking the heartbeat and adjusting the training and adjusting the training periods. So they know exactly where they need to train for having their horse on a good
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
For us, for what we are doing, this is not so super important. So when we can say, okay, if we want to train a horse out of a depositas, 110 mm-hmm. approximately.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to do just movement training somewhere in between 60 and 80, that is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will also pretty quickly figuring out the individual borders.
Mm-hmm.
of a horse, because this is connected to training, but not only to training, it's also connected to pain, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also connected to simple adipositas. So the fatter the horse is, the more difficult it is.
Yeah.
So we are seeing horses that after 5 or 10 minutes of walk are hitting the maximum capacity.
Yeah.
And then we can't train them for an hour.
Or two.
Then they will actually lose ability if we are training them. If we are going into overtraining, then they will not only get sore in their body and produce lactic acid, but they will also actually really lose ability. So therefore, I'm always warning people when they are coming with very round horses, very baroque horses.
Oh.
And they're coming with very baroque horses. I'm always keeping an eye on that they don't overtrain, so that we take it very slow at the start and first when they are getting more and more ability, when they are losing. That's one of the keys also that ration calculation is giving us, that we are figuring out how can a horse lose weight
mm-hmm.
without suffering, mm-hmm. without getting sick, without having a malnutrition, and then creating or raising performance at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's really comparable to humans.
Totally. Really. Totally. Yeah. Sure.
Because, I mean, when you think of really people with too much weight, for example, they also have a higher pulse normally. I mean, of course, they can also have a very good fitness level. But when they are not trained, or for example, we are, when we are not in training, the pulse reaches very easily.
Yes. Yes. You are very quickly, hitting the threshold and hitting. And then you really see that. So the pulse, the curve goes up and it doesn't go down so quickly. Even after a 3, 4, 5 minutes break.
Yeah.
The heartbeat doesn't calm down again, and then you know you have hit the threshold. It was a bit of overtraining already. That is okay, but then you can't repeat again and again and again. The horse will destroy its own muscles.
So when you are in when you had overtraining, for example, or you had a period where you saw, okay, this was too much, what shall we do then?
It's depending on if you had just one training where you felt eventually the next day it was too much, the horse is a little bit sore muscles. 2 days of 36 hours of regeneration.
Yeah.
Calm movement. Don't let the horse stand. Calm movement. Take it on a walk. Mm-hmm. A little bit groundwork and walk. Mm-hmm. Something like this. Calm movement. Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal. Then you can put that into. Then you can open a drawer and put this into again what learned, as we are saying in German, another skill required.
Yeah,
then you are smarter next time. This is more important to understand for the people who are overtraining the horse constantly.
Yeah, okay.
Well, for example, having a horse that is very fat, and then they are walking it each day, 1 hour, 2 hours, 5 hours,
okay.
And then they are wondering that the horse doesn't lose weight.
Yeah, okay.
Because it won't lose weight, it will lose muscles, but not weight.
Ah, this is interesting. This is really interesting.
Yeah. And therefore it's so important to understand what is fitness.
Yeah.
And what is training.
Yeah.
Because we see so many horses that are, we will talk about next month in the membership, we will talk about a body conditioning score. And then somewhere in between 5.5 and 6.5, 6 is better. Around 5.5 would be ideal, but you will figure out that most horses that are having a 5.5, 6, when you're looking at them, we will prepare some pictures, you will consider them too thin, because we are not used to that picture anymore.
Really? Is this the, in German we say body mass index for humans?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, but for horses, they have, but it gets the same for horses.
Interesting.
Mm. Yeah. And then the interesting part is the really interesting part is that actually at 6.5, already the risk of laminitis is starting to increase.
Yeah.
And at 7, we can be sure that each step is painful.
Yeah.
And at eight, we are starting to talk about morbida adipositas. Mm. So it's getting really dangerous.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But when you're looking at it, when you're looking at a horse with 7, 7.5, they look normal. This is what we see.
Mountain.
So, but this is another topic. And before we are starting to open that up, also, it's a very interesting topic. This is something we will have a look at another time, I would say,
mm-hmm.
where we are looking at, in February, the masterclass will talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we will also have a podcast or a webinar about that one night. So for tonight, we just let the idea of fitness not being something that is painful sink in, but for something that is adding health for both of us, for humans and horses.
Mm-hmm.
And that it has nothing to do with a training philosophy, just basic health. And the better we are aware of in which area we are training and what we are training is a completely different thing. If we are training walk or trot or school holds or piaf or whatever, that's a completely different thing about, in which area of fitness we are in this very moment. If there are any questions, this is your moment. I actually I actually don't see any here on Facebook. But that might be the bad transition rate that we sometimes have. Last time I had that, you've been asking for questions. And I did just see one comment in Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the stream was over, there was 20 questions popping up.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm very sorry for that, but I've been trying to answer the questions afterwards at least. I'm working on figuring out how this technique is working. But Kitty, do you have a question?
Me right now? No, I don't have any questions. I had so many questions asked during this this session. Right now, I'm very motivated to work on Billy and also with my fitness. Mm-hmm. I started yoga again. I started yoga again. And interesting how the body feels when you don't do yoga for 6 months.
I have been skipping also since last March. I simply was too sick over the summer also. Simply too sick to do something. Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to feel strong enough that I'm starting again. But also the extra weight I got. I feel you. Let's do it together.
Yeah, let's do it together.
Actually, the girls, Kim and Lynn, are preparing a movement concept for us.
Oh, this is good.
Uh-huh. For the membership.
Ooh.
So this year we'll have the topic fitness for horse and rider.
Oh, very good.
Both mentally and physically. Because I believe that mentally is not allowed to suffer.
No.
Right?
No.
When we are doing the other thing.
But when you are fit, when I do yoga, I also feel better in my mind later.
Absolutely. Me too. Me too.
Crazy shit. Really. When you're fit in the body, you also feel better in the mind.
I'm always telling to my husband, he needs to give me this half hour in the morning because I'm simply a better human afterwards.
Wise words. Wise words, really.
If he wants to have a calm home.
Yeah. In a good mood. Give me this 30 minutes yoga. Yeah.
Yoga and coffee first and then everything else.
Then everything is fine.
And everything else. Okay, so we call it a night. Let's wrap it up here.
Okay.
Thank you for tonight. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you, Selina. There was a comment, but I think was also
an inspirational discussion. You're welcome. So we have said it at the start, but all of you have a very happy 2024. We hope we could inspire you a little bit. See you soon.
Bye. See you. Bye.